Hi, this is Maria Olson. You may know me from Trophy Heads or Starry Eyes and maybe Paranormal Activity 3. And I want to welcome you to Anthony T's Horror Show because it's an awesome show.
Hi, my name is Jessica Cameron, and you're listening to Anthony T's Horror Show.
Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Best of Anthony T's Horror Show, Rants, Volume 1. Now, this show is going to contain some rants from the Best of CD that I had over at ScareCon New England this past June. I'm also including a couple new rants as well from the past months that weren't on the CD. In this episode, you'll hear me rant about if I rant about it, it will happen. Talking about how I ranted about Death House. Then, the day of or the day after the episode with that rant came out, Cleopatra Entertainment announced that it will be coming on Blu-ray via Diabolik DVD exclusive. I'll also have a couple of Jason Blum rants, since he's pretty much hijacked my show, since pretty much the beginning. But it's been really crazy lately, as he's continuing to hijack the podcast. And I already know, episode 30, there'll be another rant that is related to Jason Blum. Either next episode or the episode after. Sorry, this guy continues to hijack my show in many ways. I'll also go over my rules on how you should behave at a horror con, since Rock and Shock and Rhode Island Comic Con are coming up. I figured I'd give a refresher on what to do at cons and what not to do at cons. Because there are some things that you should never do at a con. I'll replay that. And I'll also replay the worst poster in the history of modern cinema. But first, I talk about three indie horror actresses that you should keep an eye out on. And they're really good actresses. And they're one of the reasons why indie horror is so good right now. Now, as I wrap up Women in Horror Month here on Anthony T's Horror Show, I want to tune you into three horror actresses that you should be keeping an eye out for, because these actresses are really good actresses and I really like what they're doing in the indie horror film world. I see a lot of good actresses out there, but there's three actresses that you should be really paying attention to, as their work has been very good and definitely worthy of your attention. The first actress that I'm going to talk about is Ellie Church. Now, she's an actress that I first discovered in Headless. Now, that was like, it was produced by Scott Shermer, and the reason I first saw Headless was because that was like the film within a film in Found, where the film was playing on the television. That film's a very disturbing film. Definitely check it out, but it's one of those films where you can probably only see once, because it's just so disturbing. But back to Headless. This was the first time that I saw Ellie Church. At that time, I did not know she would become this big. But after roles in films like Harvest Lake, Skeleton in the Closet, Amazon Hotbox, and most recently, The Batman, in which she turns in a very good performance in that film and really helped drive that film, because that film is downright twisted, but it's her performance that really makes this film worth sitting through, as that film is her best performance of her career so far. That's definitely a film you should check out. I liked it a lot, even though it's very twisted and everything. But definitely check The Bad Man out, because it's very twisted. And Ellie Church does have a great performance in that film that people should check out. She's a very talented actress. I do see big things in the indie horror world for her, because I really think she could be one of the top indie horror actresses, if she isn't already, because as she always does a great job making her characters very entertaining and interesting. And one of her upcoming films is Mania, which leads me to my next indie horror actress that you should be keeping an eye on, is Jessica Cameron. She directed the film Mania with Ellie Church and Tristan Risk. Now, this film's been kind of in limbo for a couple years, but hopefully that film gets a release soon. But Jessica Cameron is a very good actress as well, whether it's seeing her in films like All Through the House, or in a lead performance in her own directorial debut, Truth or Dare, to most recently Stephen Bryo's The Song of Solomon, which she was great in that film, given the complexity of that role that she was in. That's definitely a film you should check out if you're really into gory horror films, as her performance in that film was very good. She's definitely an actress that people should keep an eye out for, because she really does have the talent to play any kind of character. And oh, I just forgot something. Red Eye as well, as she was really good in that film too. She's a very talented actress. I'm hoping she gets more roles. And I'm also interested in seeing what her directorial career takes as well. So she's another actress that you should keep an eye out for in the coming months. And the third and final actress that you should be keeping an eye out for is Jamie Bernadette. Now, she's also a very good actress as well. She's done some really good films like 420 Massacre, which is a stoner slasher film, which was one of the better indie films of the year, even though it didn't make my top 10 list. She's been in other films such as All Girls Weekend, where she was also very good in the lead role there. And she also recently had a lead role in the film The Sixth Friend, which I'll talk about more later, in which not only she is the lead in the film, plus she also wrote the screenplay for the film, as she co-wrote it with the film's director, which I'll talk more about that film later in the show. But she's definitely an actress to keep an eye out for, as one of her upcoming projects is the sequel to the cult classic I Spit on Your Grave, titled I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu. She's definitely an actress to keep an eye out for. And all of these three actresses that I mentioned are all actresses that you should be keeping an eye out for in the coming months, as they're very talented and they always manage to put in good performances in whatever film they are in. Ever see the film Field of Dreams? I know it's not a horror film, but there's a line in the film that is most notable for that film. If you build it, he will come. Well, if you rant about it, it will happen. Because in episode 3, I complained about the release of Death House and the fact that it was only getting a DVD release. Well, either the day of or the day after episode 3 was released, Cleopatra Entertainment announced that Death House would be on Blu-ray, only at DiabolicDVD.com. But for yours truly, I didn't care. As long as I had a Blu-ray copy of the film, I was satisfied. But here's this nice rant where, if you rant about it, it will happen. Death House recently got announced for a DVD and VOD release. This film is a film that needs to be checked out. I saw the film last year at ScareCon New England when it had its premiere. This film is action-packed. Kane Hodder is great in this film. And plus, this film really doesn't let go until the final credits. But recently, I kind of got angry in pertains to this film, because for those who don't know, I like to collect Blu-rays. I even have a show on Anthony T. Horror Chambers YouTube channel called the Horror Chambers DVD and Blu-ray collection, and mostly you see Blu-rays on it. So when I heard the announcement that Death House was going to be finally coming to disc, I was not happy that there was no Blu-ray announcement. I don't know what's going on with it, but look at how Death House performed when it was first put on pre-order on Amazon.com. It was like in the top four. In fact, it was number four of the top horror films that are sold at Amazon.com when it was first announced. But still, if this film can get into the top five and it's an indie film, why isn't there a Blu-ray release? Seriously. This film definitely needs a Blu-ray release. Hopefully soon there'll be details on a Blu-ray release. Or maybe it's an exclusive thing. I don't know. But still, it's very frustrating when I see this film doesn't get a Blu-ray release. But films that Cleopatra Entertainment released, like Devil's Domain and most recently Sunset Society, get Blu-ray releases. And Death House, with an all-star horror cast, including Kane Hodder, Sid Haig, Tony Todd, Dee Wallace, Barbara Crampton, and it just gets a simple DVD release. Really, Cleopatra Entertainment? Death House needs a Blu-ray release. If you can give a Blu-ray release to some of your lesser-known films, why can't you give Death House a Blu-ray release? You know this film had a following when you acquired it, because there was a lot of buzz surrounding this film. It is really a shame that this film hasn't gotten a Blu-ray release announced, because really, this film deserves to be on Blu-ray. Not DVD, not VOD, Blu-ray. I like to add it to my Blu-ray collection. Blu-ray is my preferred format. Not DVD anymore. Only time I get DVD is when Blu-ray isn't available. Still, it's like, why, Cleopatra Entertainment? Why? You guys really need to rethink your release plan and add a Blu-ray release to go along with a DVD and VOD release of the film. Because it'll sell good. Trust me, if it debuted at number 4 on Amazon's top horror films, and this is for a pre-order of an indie film, nonetheless, why aren't we getting a Blu-ray release? This is so mind-boggling, and quite frankly, I feel a little angry about it. Because personally, lesser-known films than that have gotten Blu-ray releases. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I hope you guys change your mind, and I hope you guys release this film on Blu-ray. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Every day there's a family struggling with hospital bills to care for their sick child who is fighting an illness. There's a woman who is fighting breast cancer and is having trouble making ends meet while paying for their treatment. And there are burn victims that are going through treatments to heal their deep wounds. There is a charity in the horror community that helps these people. Scares That Care is an organization that helps families deal with the bills for their child. They help women get the treatment they need to fight breast cancer. And they help people who are dealing with severe burns get the help they need to heal. Scares That Care is a 100% volunteer organization and 501c3 nonprofit charity that is dedicated to helping these people in fighting real monsters. To find out more information or to donate to Scares That Care, you can go to www.scaresthatcare.org. Every donation helps Scares That Care fight real monsters.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I am the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John! Time for something new and improved!
Welcome back. Now, if you were to say, what is the most talked about topic on this podcast, I would definitely give you an answer. It's none other than Jason Blum, as he seems to be taking over my podcast. Literally. It's the most talked about topic here on this podcast, because it seems like every episode I'm either talking about Jason Blum or one of his Blumhouse films. Case in point, Halloween Kills has pretty much been dominating my news segment for the last 3 or 4 episodes. It's like the film hijacks the news segment, literally. And next episode, I'll be talking about one of Jason Blum's recent reboots, Black Christmas, because that's like the worst trailer I have ever seen. And I'll talk more about it next episode. But here are 2 related rants on Jason Blum. First is an open letter to Jason Blum, because at one time he wanted to make 10 more Halloween sequels, and yours truly thought it was a very bad idea. But at least he's making 2 more Halloween sequels back to back. Hopefully that's it, but I'm doubting it, knowing Jason Blum. And after that, why Jason Blum is getting a Funko and X-Director doesn't. Because I don't know why Jason Blum gets a Funko and directors like John Carpenter, George Romero, and others don't. It's really a travesty. But first, the open letter to Jason Blum about his obsession of making 10 Halloween sequels.
Dear Mr. Blum, I recently read an article on DreadCentral.com that you wanted to make 10 more Halloween films, even though you don't have the rights to even make Halloween 2. I'm writing to you because I have to go off that ledge, because this is one of the dumbest ideas that I've ever heard since I found out that Orion Pictures and MGM were remaking Child's Play and making Chucky a robot. The first reason why you can't make 10 Halloween films is the fact that the original series went downhill after Halloween 4. You had that stupid Cult of Thorn plotline, which ruined both The Revenge of Michael Myers, Halloween 5, and The Curse of Michael Myers, Halloween 6. And it even turned this series into guilty pleasure territory with Halloween Resurrection, as that was bad to watch in a good way. I don't want to ever associate Michael Myers and guilty pleasure films in the same sentence again. The other reason why they can't be 10 more films is the fact that the last time a film franchise went 10 films, the series went into space. I really, really don't want to see Michael Myers in space. Look at Jason X and Hellraiser Bloodlines. Those films, to me, are only known as guilty pleasure films, and I very rarely see them now. Hell, the director of Hellraiser Bloodline refused to have his name on the film because it was so bad that he had to use the famous Alan Smitty credit, so he didn't have to have his name associated with the film. I'm trying to tell you here, Do not, under any circumstances, put Michael Myers in space. I hope you reconsider this idea to have 10 more Halloween films, even though you don't have the rights for the sequel, because you'll ruin the success of the recent Halloween reboot, and I really don't want subpar entries in this series. Sincerely, Anthony T. P.S. Can you help produce Machete Kills in space for Robert Rodriguez? I really want to see this film so bad. I want to see Danny Trejo's kick ass in space. Please, please, do it, do it! Warning, the following commentary doesn't represent the views of Doc Discussions or the Doc Discussions Network. In other words, there are my views only. Welcome back. Now, last episode, I mentioned a new story about Jason Blum gets a Funko. Yes, Jason Blum gets a Funko, while X-Director doesn't. I was not too happy about this news, because personally for me, while I respect what Jason Blum has done for the whole horror genre and everything, I think it's way too early to get a Funko made of him. Seriously. And I'm a big Funko collector, as I have a lot of Funkos from Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween, Hellraiser, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and more. So, when I heard the news that Jason Blum is getting a Funko, as a Funko collector, I was not too happy about this. Because he hasn't been in the horror genre for a extended period of time. When I think of extended period of time, I think 20, 30, 40 years. And Jason Blum hasn't been around the horror genre for that extended period of time. I really thought Funko was really going to stop focusing on the classic horror directors after they released the Alfred Hitchcock Funko. And instead, Jason Blum gets a Funko. Yes, Jason Blum gets a Funko. But there are three directors, sci-fi and horror genre related, that deserves a Funko way more than Jason Blum. I'm sorry. And I won't even go into my obsession for a Lloyd Kaufman Funko, or a Toxie Funko, or a David Lynch Funko, but instead focus on three sci-fi and horror directors that truly deserve a Funko. And the first one that truly deserves a Funko over Jason Blum is John Carpenter. John Carpenter has done many classic horror films such as Halloween, The Thing, Escape from New York, Starman. This guy's done a number of notable films, and it really kind of angers me that he has not gotten a Funko yet. That guy deserves a Funko. I'm sorry. He has created two of the greatest icons in sci-fi horror action, Michael Myers and Snake Plissken. John Carpenter is a legend. He is well deserving of having a Funko like Alfred Hitchcock, and it angers me to see him get passed over so that Jason Blum gets a Funko. Now, the second director that really deserves a Funko over Jason Blum is the godfather of the zombie movie, in my opinion, George A. Romero. Now, there's nothing you can say. This guy has created a landmark zombie trilogy. He's created Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, and Day of the Dead. And besides that, he's done some also notable films like Creepshow and The Crazies. Why hasn't this guy gotten a Funko yet? This guy is a legend. If it wasn't for his zombie trilogy of films, you would not have a Walking Dead. You would not have a 28 Days Later. You would not have countless numbers of zombie films.
if it wasn't for George A. Romero. But it really angers me that George A. Romero doesn't get a Funko, but Jason Blum gets a Funko. And the last one is just plain criminal here. That this guy has not gotten a Funko for all the achievements that this guy has done. But Jason Blum gets a Funko. And let me remind you that this guy is a legend in the sci-fi and horror genre. And why hasn't he gotten a Funko yet? I'm talking about Steven Spielberg. Yes, the same Steven Spielberg that has directed films such as Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Jaws, Jurassic Park, E.T., and countless other films. It really blows my mind why this guy has not gotten the Funko treatment yet. Especially when they just released the Jaws Funko set. I'm surprised they didn't add on a Steven Spielberg Funko. Because that would have been kind of cool to have a Steven Spielberg Funko in that set. Or separately, it would have been the perfect time to release a Steven Spielberg Funko. Because this guy is probably the king of the blockbusters. He's done so many blockbuster films that it's hard to count. Seriously. And yet, this guy does not have a Funko. I don't get it. Steven Spielberg. He's a great director. He's done films that will live on for the end of time. Because this guy is a legend. This guy is well deserving of a Funko. If you're going to give a legend like Alfred Hitchcock a Funko, why isn't Steven Spielberg getting a Funko? I don't get it. There's like many people that are well deserving of a Funko. Like Steven Spielberg. I'll even throw James Cameron in there. He's done Terminator and Aliens. Those two guys should have Funkos. Seriously. And they don't have Funkos, but you guessed it. Jason Blum gets a Funko. And I really don't know what the people at Funko are thinking here. Because they are not paying homage to these legends. They are paying homage to the hottest thing in Hollywood. You have a J.J. Abrams Funko out there. You had a James Wan Funko at one time as a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. Hell, the creators of Stranger Things have their own Funkos, and the legends don't. But it really irks me that the legends of horror and science fiction don't have Funkos. But people like Jason Blum and whoever is the hottest trend gets a Funko. I just don't get it. Really, Funko. I don't know what you guys are doing, but you guys are missing out on really capitalizing on these legends. Because us fans of horror and sci-fi and geekdom would love to have a John Carpenter Funko. Would love to have a George A. Romero Funko. Would love to have a Steven Spielberg Funko. Would love to have a James Cameron Funko. But they don't have Funkos. But Jason Blum gets a Funko. I'm sorry. That does not sit well with me. I'll probably still purchase it. I'm such a horror fan. But it just really irks me that Funko is really going after these directors and producers in the now and not paying homage to the legends of sci-fi and horror. It is just wrong. Funko really needs to step up their game and stop putting out Funkos like Steven Spielberg, like John Carpenter, like George A. Romero. Because we Funko lovers would buy it. I just don't get why Jason Blum gets to cut to the front of the line and get his Funko. Because he's not even a director. He's a producer. And he gets a Funko and these legendary directors don't. It just angers me. I'm sorry. I'm done with this segment. Because Funko really needs to pay attention to the history of cinema and the history of the horror and sci-fi genre. Instead of paying attention to who's the hottest thing in the moment. That is the main reason why I don't like the fact that Jason Blum gets a Funko.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
Have a podcast that you want to promote? Well, if you're interested in swapping commercials, you can promote your show here on Anthony T's Horror Show, and in return, I will promote your commercial on my show as well. For more information, contact me at anthonytshorrorshow@gmail.com. Welcome back. Now, the convention season is in full swing, as it's starting to wind down for 2019, but there's some really big conventions coming up, like Chiller Theater, you have Monster Mania, ScareCon New York, Rhode Island Comic Con, and Rockin' Shock. So it would be a good time to do a little refresher of the do's and don'ts when going to a horror con or pop culture convention. Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. Now, with convention season already started, I figured this would be a good time to talk about the do's and don'ts of horror conventions. Now, the first thing that you should do, and this is a very important one, is bring money. Because celebrities will charge for their autograph and their pictures. Don't think they're going to give an autograph or a picture away for free, because they're not going to do that. If you're thinking that way, then you're going to be very disappointed when you get to the convention and you find out, oh, I don't have any money and this person's charging and I can't afford it. Or why is this person charging even though she was brought in as a guest? Well, celebs need to make money. And one of the ways they do it is by charging for autographs and pictures. So don't expect any free autographs or pictures. You may get a rare case where someone will give free autographs or someone will give free pictures. Because I've seen one or two celebs do that over the years that I've been going to conventions. But 97-98% of the celebrities that do the conventions usually charge for both an autograph and a picture. So make sure you bring money. And also it's a good idea to have money too, if you want to buy stuff that some of the vendors are selling, like films or t-shirts or comics or books or other stuff. So it's very important to bring money to conventions, because it's important. And yes, some vendors will take credit cards, but celebrities usually don't take credit cards. So always bring money when you're going to a convention, especially if you want an autograph and or picture. Make sure you have good hygiene. It's very simple. All these celebs are around people all day, and they don't want to smell your bad odor and that crap. So it's always good to make sure you're clean, brush your teeth, and whatnot. Be courteous to everyone at the facility, including attendees that attend the convention, the guests there, and especially the hotel or convention staff. Because nobody wants to deal with someone who's angry, as this is supposed to be a fun time. It's not a time where you just get angry or just really frustrated. Conventions are fun. So it's always good to keep a kind and courteous attitude. Who knows? You may even make some friends at conventions as well. Make sure you always ask for permission when you're taking pictures with cosplayers or taking pictures of cosplayers. You don't want to be that guy who's a creep by taking pictures without their permission. I find that disgusting and unethical. So always ask the cosplayer that you want to take his or her picture, either of the person or you with the person, because it's being polite, and you also want to make the person that you're taking a picture of comfortable with you as well. So always ask permission every time you take a picture of a cosplayer, because it's the right thing to do. Make sure you tip your bartender if you're planning on drinking. I know a lot of conventions will have parties in which some of the bar staff will be there serving drinks. Please make sure you tip your bartender, as these people are probably not making a lot of money doing this job, so they can use whatever extra money they can get. And finally, speaking of drinking, always drink responsibly. You don't want to be that guy who is incoherent and drunk, because you don't want to be that guy waking up the next morning having a wicked hangover, and then you have to be on the convention floor. It would not be good for you. Plus, it would probably kill some of the fun that you're having at the convention, because you're so tired and just so out of it. So drink responsibly, because it's not cool to be drunk at a convention. And plus, once you get a hangover, you're not really into the convention, as you're struggling from the day before. So please drink responsibly when you're at a convention. Now, here are some of the don'ts. And I stress this enough, don't. The first don't is, don't take photos of celebrities at their tables or anywhere on the hotel premises. It's kind of creepy, first of all. Plus, you're taking money out of their pocket, because if you're taking a picture of the celebrity, then why bother pay for a picture? And when I say on the premises, like in a hotel or on the convention lobby, those people have a right to privacy as well. So don't bug them when they're anywhere on the hotel. Unless if it's at a party or something and they want to talk to you, then that's different. But don't bother them if they want privacy or trying to steal photos, because that's not cool. Don't take pictures of artists' work. Seriously. By taking a picture of an artist's piece of work, technically, it feels like stealing, and you're taking money away from their pockets in which they work their hardest to create some of their art. It's not cool. Seriously. These people are struggling artists as is. If you like something, then buy it. Don't take a picture on your phone, then walk away, because that's disgusting. Seriously. People work so hard to create various pieces of art that when you take a picture, it kind of feels like stealing, in all honesty. So always purchase the artwork of artists. Don't use your phone. I find it very, very despicable that you're taking away money from the artist. Pay the artist, because it makes them happy. It makes them want to create more art, and it makes you happy because you get to hang it up on your wall. So always pay for any artwork. Don't act like a jerk. I've already kind of explained that when I said be courteous to everyone. But I figured I'd remind you anyway, because nobody likes a jerk. And a horror convention is supposed to be a fun time, not a place where you get angry at somebody. So please don't act like a jerk. This next one is very important, because I was at Monster Mania 39, and the fire marshal came and shut down the convention because it was overcrowded. One of the main reasons why it was overcrowded, you had people sneaking into the convention. So don't sneak into the convention. And I'll tell you why. First, the promoter has to pay for the space that he uses at the hotel or convention, which includes conference rooms, main ballrooms, main halls. That stuff ain't free. And when a convention charges for admission, that's what the admission is going towards, renting all these rooms and all these halls so that they can bring the celebs in for you to see. I don't want to see people sneaking into conventions, because by sneaking into a convention, you are ripping off the promoter. And that is completely wrong. If a promoter can't make money on the convention, then you can forget about having the convention for future years, because they need to pay for the space they're going to use. And most of that money comes from the tickets that they sell. So don't sneak into conventions, because you're ripping off the promoter, and you can end up having the convention go out of business because it can't make money. So pay to go to the convention. Enough said. Seriously. I should not have to say this, but there are some people that try to sneak into these hotel conventions. So don't sneak into a convention. Just pay for a ticket or a wristband so you're helping the promoter pay for the space that he is renting. Don't sticker the hotel or convention floor. I know I should not say that, but sometimes somebody might get an idea to, you know what, put stickers on the wall or on chairs or put a sticker on a piece of furniture in your room. Don't sticker the hotel or convention hall, because it makes the promoter look bad, and they won't be invited back to host the convention at that venue. So don't sticker the hotel or convention hall. In fact, don't destroy any property as well. So that should be simple. The next one is one of my pet peeves. Don't sit on the floor, period. Sometimes I see people sitting on the floor at conventions when there's a lot of traffic. Don't sit on the floor, because by sitting on the floor, the chances for an accident go up, and we want nobody hurt at these conventions. If you're in a panel room and there's no seats in this room, stand. Don't sit on the floor in the center of the room, because you're asking for something to happen. So don't sit on the floor, because it's not right to be sitting on the floor in the first place. If you want to sit badly, go to a film room, because most of the time the film rooms are empty. So that's a perfect place to where you can sit. There's also maybe some seats in the lounge area or hotel restaurant or designated areas in a convention center where you can sit. But there is no need to sit on the floor, because you're just asking for something bad to happen to you. I'm just doing this as a public safety announcement. So don't sit on the floor at a convention. You don't want to get hit accidentally. So don't sit on the floor. Now, this one, I have to mention because it happened a couple years ago at a convention where some knucklehead stole something. So I have to bring this up. Don't steal from the vendors. These guys travel probably hundreds of miles to be at a convention, so don't steal from them. They're a small business. They're just trying to make money. I find it disgusting when people just steal stuff, period. But it's worse when you're stealing from a small business, as a lot of these vendors are just small businesses in general. So don't steal from them. Pay for your stuff. If you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But don't steal. It makes you look bad. Plus, eventually, they'll get you because this camera's everywhere. So, don't steal. Support your indie retailers and pay for your stuff. And finally, don't trash your room like a rock star. I say this because if you're a con goer and you trash your room, it looks bad on the convention. So don't trash your room, because on top of the damage you have to pay, you also make the convention look bad. So don't trash your room. Just be kind and tip your maid at the end of your stay. And that's all I've got for my horror cons do's and don'ts. Please take this all into consideration before you go to a horror convention or Comic-Con this year, as conventions are supposed to be fun and drama-free, so I hope you enjoy whatever convention you're going to, and help support these vendors and celebrities who need the money to help make a living. And always remember, when you're going to a convention, have a good time. You can find Anthony T's Horror Show on social media on these platforms. Facebook at facebook.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. Twitter at www.twitter.com/AnthonyT's Horror. On Instagram at www.instagram.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. On YouTube at www.youtube.com/AnthonyThurber. And you can find Anthony T's Horror Show on the web as well at AnthonyT'sHorrorShow.blogspot.com. And you can also find Doc Discussions at www.docdiscussions.com. The film recommendation segment on my show is usually a segment where I recommend a film that's in my film library or I've seen recently that I really like a lot. Sometimes it's more of a straightforward segment, but once in a while, it can get off the rails like any other segment on my show. In case in point, the time I recommended Dead Dudes in the House, a.k.a. The Dead Come Home, a.k.a. The House on Tombstone Hill, which is currently released by Vinegar Syndrome. The film is also a Troma title. Now, I'm a major fan of Lloyd Kaufman and Troma, so if Vinegar Syndrome ever releases a Troma title, I usually pick it up. But in case of Dead Dudes in the House, well, I really had to criticize Troma. I did not want to do this, but the original poster art for Dead Dudes in the House may be the worst poster art I have ever seen in the history of cinema. Literally, they just pasted five people who are not even in the film on the poster and make it look like a horror comedy when, you guessed it, it's not a horror comedy. It's a straight-up slasher supernatural film. So, yours truly had to, well, criticize Troma. It was not fun, trust me. But, hey, this is Anthony T's Horror Show, so anything is pretty much fair game. Even if I like Troma so much, if I see something that's really way out there and doesn't make any sense, I'm going to talk about it. And I definitely did it with this title because, quite frankly, I think the poster art for Dead Dudes in a House is just lazy and doesn't represent the film, because Dead Dudes in a House is a good film, as you will hear right now. For my film recommendation this week, I wanted to recommend the title from Trauma, since I haven't had time to do so here on the film recommendation segment of my show. They're definitely one of the reasons why I support indie horror, and I'm going to recommend a title in which it really makes no sense with the film, nor its poster, which I will post on the social media channels to show you why it does not make sense with the film. The film I'm talking about is Dead Dudes in the House. Yes, this is an actual film titled Dead Dudes in the House. First of all, the poster looks so late 80s, early 90s. It looks like a New Kids on the Block ripoff. It's like, if this poster was the poster that Vinegar Syndrome used in marketing this film, I would have gone bananas and just pretty much moved on to the next film, because this poster does not scream by me. This poster pretty much screams get away from it, because this is one of the worst posters that I have ever seen. The poster pretty much features five young adults who are not even in the film. It's like, what the fuck? If I were to rent this film, I would not see these five guys on the cover of this film in the film. Come on. Really? I know you're trying to attract an audience, but this is just one of the worst posters that I have ever seen. And it's a total misrepresentation of this film, what the people at Troma were thinking when they were marketing this film, because this is just horrible. It is quite possibly the worst poster that I have ever seen in my entire life. I will put this up on all of the show's social media pages, and I may even throw out a poll to see if this is the worst poster of all time, because this is ridiculous and very misleading. I don't want to go and criticize Trauma, but this is a very good film, which people should check out. Thankfully, this title is not being used in its marketing for the Blu-ray release, because I don't know if anybody would buy a film with that cover, as this is quite possibly the worst movie poster that I have ever seen in my life. Now, since I finished my gripes about the title and marketing of this film, I want to talk to you why Dead Dudes in the House is my film recommendation for episode 11. One of the reasons why I liked Dead Dudes in the House was the fact that this film had a suspenseful feel to it. It was a very gory kind of slasher zombie film, which is different compared to other slasher films. At least it's thinking outside of the box. Plus the fact that it has good direction from James Rifle, who does a very good job making sure his performances are good enough to keep the film interesting and entertaining. It also had a good special effects team for the film, because some of the death scenes were executed very well to the point where it generated a horrific reaction, which is very much needed for a film like this to succeed. The screenplay also was very good, as it does a good job building its characters and also building tension to make some of the kill scenes work in the film. So definitely I recommend you check out Dead Dudes in the House, as it's currently released by Vinegar Syndrome under the title The House on Tombstone Hill. This film is also known as The Dead Come Home as well, but still, this is definitely a really good Trauma film, and I have to say probably one of Trauma's best titles that doesn't feature Lloyd Kaufman in any capacity, because this is a very good straight-up slasher film with zombie elements
thrown in. I definitely recommend you pick up the Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome under the title The House on Tombstone Hill. It's a very different kind of film, but at least the film is being given a proper title instead of Dead Dudes in the House, because that title is just so weird considering the film is not what you would think with that title, as Dead Dudes in the House is really a bad title for a film. But thankfully Vinegar Syndrome is not using this title. That really doesn't match what the film's about. Definitely check out Dead Dudes in the House, aka The Dead Come Home, aka The House on Tombstone Hill. The film is available on VinegarSyndrome.com and Amazon.com. I hope you enjoyed Anthony T's Horror Show's Best of Rants, Volume 1. Now, a couple of things. Over on Anthony T's Horror Show's official website at anthonytshorrorshow.blogspot.com, I recently wrote a review for Haunt, which recently came out on VOD. You can check my review of the film up on the site. On Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube, I recently released an edition of Anthony T's Horror Collection with all the stuff I picked up over at Scares That Cares Weekend 6. I know it took a while, but it's finally up. And I also have another edition of Anthony T's Horror Thoughts where I talk about It Chapter 2, as I recently saw the film in theaters. You can find those videos over at youtube.com/AnthonyThurber, T-H-U-R-B-E-R. With that, thank you for listening to Anthony T's Horror Show, Best of Rants, Volume 1. Have a good day and support indie horror.